From KRCB in Santa Rosa, it's Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour with Michelle Anna Jordan.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Cabot Creamery, one of several socially active food cooperatives. Details are at go.coop. That's go.coop.
Coming up on Mouthful, the best tamales in the world and the latest goings on at Copia. So stay tuned for the wine country's most delicious hour.
You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic, and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs, and a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. I guess you could say this is really our official anniversary. 12 years on the air, starting our 13th year. And I can think of few better ways to celebrate it than with a talk about that force of nature, the tamale. And yesterday, on KSRO's Good Food Hour, hosted by Steve Garner and John Ash, and I should say Steve Garner has been Mouthful's very first guest and traditionally comes back to Mouthful every year on our anniversary. But he worked so hard this weekend, I decided to let him off the hook. But yesterday, at G&G Market, they hosted their 20th annual recipe contest. I've been a judge, oh gosh, maybe for the last 10 years, I think. And I've seen all kinds of food, good food, food that's like, well, you know, what were they thinking? There's always customers standing around wanting to taste things. I have never seen anything like I saw yesterday when the subject of the contest was tamales. There was, it was roped off where we were judging. And usually it's sort of organized, and each one of the judges takes some time to talk about each one of the entrees, and it's just sort of very, very focused. It's fun, but there's a focus to it. And I was talking with host Steve Garner last night, and he said it was just like a force of nature. It just turned into controlled chaos, but in a really good way. And there was this huge crowd pressing forward. You could see they were so eager to try the tamales. And usually when I judge, and I think most people when they judge cooking contests, you're very discreet about how much you eat. You take a bite or two and you assess it. It's not personal eating. It's professional eating, and that's a little bit different. We were chowing down on the tamales. Could not resist them. It was amazing. And there were five finalists in the contest. And the winner, in my opinion, and I think that I can probably speak for all the judges, the winner was really a hands-down winner. And I'm so excited she is here in the studio with us. And on that note, I'd like to say congratulations to Margarita Duran.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us on Mouthful. And I just have to say again, your tamales are so incredibly wonderful.
Good. I'm glad to like.
And I will be asking you specific questions about them very soon, you can be sure. But I wanted to introduce our other two guests. We have Raina Bockhold.
Hello.
Got that right?
Yes, you did.
You are an extern at Copia. You're finishing up your degree at Texas Culinary Academy.
Right. It's the final step before receiving my degree.
Okay. And then also joining us, Kevin Tumajan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. You are the senior wine educator at Copia now?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, thanks to all of you for driving over. I think, were you all working today?
I was.
Yes. I actually was not, but I normally work on Sundays, so it's okay.
Okay, so were you excited when you won?
Yes. Reina said, you win, and I said, what?
Well, your tamales were so good, and you had three in the contest. You had, although you enter as one, sort of, you know, we weren't judging them separately. We were sort of certainly eating them separately. You had pollo verde, is that how?
Pollo con salsa verde y carne de puerco con salsa verde. Pollo con mole. Y rajas con corn y
queso.
Queso.
Now, we should tell people what, if they don't know what rajas is.
Es chile poblano. Se tuesta y se hacen unas tiritas de chile. Y
they're roasted and then you cut them in pieces.
I have to say that, you know, I love pork. Pork is just like the perfect thing.
Yes.
But the chiles with rajas, corn, and queso were amazing. And that's the one we all were just dazzled by those.
To die for.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, is that, did you learn to make tamales at your mama's or your grandma's side?
Yes, my mom.
Where were you at that time?
Well, my mother was in the town with my father. My father was in Tlaxcala. It's the town. In Mexico City, we born. My mother and
You were born in Mexico City?
Yes. And we learning the Mexico City, make tamales.
Oh, that's where you learned?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yes. I work for La Refinería de Tula, Hidalgo, for 8 years, and I be people, and I cooking for maybe 500.
Oh, so you've cooked professionally for a long time.
See, but I learning from my mother.
You learned from your mother. It has that taste. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has that perfect pitch. This is somebody grew up eating and cooking like this. It's something that I don't think any food professional, any chef can mimic that absolute perfect pitch that you absorb from childhood.
One people told me today, oh, you win. And I say, yes. And they say, where is the secret? And I say, oh, that's my hand. I can give it to you.
And one thing that we noticed in the printed recipe, which was the one for the chicken, you use water seasoned with anise.
Well, I use the has the tomatillos. We boiling with anise.
Oh, so, okay.
And a little pumpkin. I don't know what is the
pumpkin seed.
It's stem.
No, that's the stem.
Oh, the stems.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And boiling and put it in the masa with the chicken broth. When I cook the chicken, I put it in the tamales and salt.
They were both complex and very focused. You know, they had depth of flavor, but they weren't complicated.
Right.
Or, you know, they weren't chefy with, you know, it's like, get that off the plate. You know, they were very, very focused, and just their flavor went on forever. You clearly deserved to win.
It stuck through true to the classic tamale versus adding some sort of strange ingredients, and she did such a good job with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, what's the secret to making the masa itself so that it's as light?
Fluffy?
Yes.
Well, you have to work with the hand.
So you mix with your hands?
Maybe 30 minutes to run it, the masa, with lard.
Yes, lard. Lard is important.
The lard is the first, put it in the bowl, and you straight.
You mix the you mix the lard
with the hint until it's white.
Ah, so it's like when you're mixing, say, egg whites, and you mix and mix and mix till the color changes.
Yes.
Similar concept, and so that begins the process of fluffing it up.
Yes.
And then
I think this is the most important.
The most important element is mixing that, and then. Yeah. Do you start adding?
Put it in the masa.
Uh huh.
And later put the anise with everything in.
Mm-hmm.
You put a strain it and put the juice.
Mm-hmm.
And later put the juice for the chicken. Mm. You cook the chicken first and strain the chicken and put it in a bowl and make this the green salsa. Put it in the bowl and. Mix together with the juice, the chicken stock, and mix it, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And salt.
Just mix and mix and mix. Yeah. And one of the things that I really enjoyed was that the level of salt was perfect. You didn't need to add salt. It wasn't flat. So do you taste, or do you just know now?
No,
you
just know. Know.
You just know, okay.
I get my hand and put it in the salt and...
Uh-huh. And what kind of salt do you like to use?
I use the salt, regular salt.
Regular salt?
Yeah.
Okay, just curious.
Yeah.
Since I'm a fan of salt. And then one thing I also noticed about yours is when you roll them, they're folded at one end and open at the other end. Now, some are folded on both ends, so they're like compact, but yours are open. And
no, just only open the hacks. And put it at the masa. And when one spoon, when you put the salsa, you can make like this.
So you just sort of curve it on.
And put it in the salsa and put the chicken on it. And you wrap it.
But you don't... I assume that in the steamer, you then stand them with the end, one end sort of folded up, and then they're open on the top?
No, when you fold it, when you fold it, that... the hacks.
You just roll them over.
And you can pull like this, and you stuck in the pan.
Okay. Now, how long do you have to steam tamales for?
Well, maybe I have a, what is it, secret? Or
secret?
I put it at 1/4 in the pan. And when it's boiling, the cora is dancing inside the pan. And I take the time.
From that?
From that. And maybe 40 minutes, 1 hour.
So 40 minutes from the time the coin starts dancing?
Yeah.
That's I've heard about that from somebody else, too. I forget what it was for. But that's great.
Yeah. And I think the secret... It you have stay very happy when you make tamales.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when you're angry or something, you feeling nervous or something, the tamales, some tamal is cooking one side and one side is not cooked. I don't know why, so that is what happened to me.
So there we have the magical element of the tamale.
Yes. When I make tamales and I say to my nephews, okay, I'm going to make tamales. Go away. Leave me alone.
That's very interesting. And you heard it here on Mouthful.
Aprieta me quisiera, dejaría la borrachera pa' poderla mantener. Si no fuera traicionera, aunque fuera cantinera, debía de ser mi mujer.
que la quiero, que mi amor es verdadero.
It's Mouthful. It is KRCB Public Radio for Sonoma County. I'm Michelle Jordan. My guest this evening, winner of the tamale contest, Steve Garner and John Ashes, KSRO, Margarita Duran, also from Copia, Raina Brockhold and Kevin Tumajan. I want to bring the two of you into this conversation now, especially in regards to like the daily classes. And I know, Margarita, you teach classes sometimes.
Yes.
And you also work in the kitchen doing all that incredible prep. So do you teach in the daily class program or in a variety of programs?
In the programs, when nobody come or somebody missing, I get the place.
Oh, you fill in?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to start like making people get sick. Just kidding.
They say, Reina say yesterday, la máquina.
She's the machine. Man, she does it all.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like it. Mm-hmm. So how did the classes, now I know that they've changed since Copia opened. What year did it open, by the way?
2001, November of 2001.
Yeah, that was really fortuitous timing, wasn't it?
Right.
So now there's daily classes that you don't have to register for in advance, is that right?
Right.
So why don't you just sort of explain the culinary programs?
Well, every month we try to choose something that goes along with our theme. Whereas last month we were celebrating Napa, so we did our daily food class involved grapes. So we made a kind of take on a grape Waldorf salad. And this month we are celebrating America's melting pot. And so we're doing squashes, yams, and pumpkins. And so what we're doing, we're using actually sweet potatoes to make a soup, which we do every day. And it's a 30-minute program. We try to give you a lot of different information, whether it be historical, nutritional, cooking tips, recipes. And it's just a really kind of – it's a great free program for people to kind of just pop in and
– So it's free with admission to Copia.
Right, right.
Okay. And then the other classes that are longer and that you register for, what's the sort of range
for
the other classes, the ones that you sign up for in advance?
Right. The only classes that we do on a daily basis would be our daily food class. Okay. The wine program has daily classes that you can sign up that involve an extra fee besides admission. Mm-hmm. But we do, we have our Taste of Copia lunch, which is every Friday. It's kind of our big deal, and it goes along with whatever theme. So this month we're doing America's Melting Pot. So it involves, we're doing a beefsteak salad, and then our main course involves short ribs. And so it's really kind of a delicious meal. It's great because it ends with an apple pie a la mode. And during the presentation, it's also paired with three different wines. And you have someone from our wine team as well as a head gardener who is there to kind of discuss how from garden to table and how the wines interact with the food. And we as well, one of our chefs is there to demonstrate. So it's a really great hour and a half program. It's $45. I think it's such a deal.
That includes the lunch.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Lunch and demonstration, everything, and the wine.
That is a really good deal. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that this next program, I know that you're not involved in it. I don't think you are anyway, but it's sort of my favorite thing about Copia, and that's Friday Night Flicks. Can we talk a little bit about that, either one of you?
Sure. Friday Night Flicks is a lot of fun. It's actually head up by Richard Miami, and he's been with Copia since we opened. And Richard is a big fanatic of those artsy movies, and you can come in on Friday. We'll have movies like Chocolat or The Big Night. Around Halloween time, he had a nice a bevy of scary movies as well, too.
Do you remember which ones they were?
I'm not sure, actually. Let's see. In addition to all the movies, too, what's great is at Copia we also have Julia's Kitchen. So it's a great place to come in, have dinner, and then you can go and see a movie after. And they'll always be slanted towards usually the food, wine. I think he had a Fellini movie recently as well, but usually very artistic.
And I know that either Strangers on a Train just played or is just coming up. Not Strangers on a Plane. Strangers on a Train. Hello. I know that's coming up. Okay, here's the the Halloween. Oh, that's right. You had Will the Thrill and Monica the Tiki Goddess. I think you had the Mike Hygens, who've been a guest here on Mouthful. Oh. and The Queen of Trash. That's right. That just sounded like so much fun. I keep wanting you guys to do Rosemary's Baby and Serve Chocolate Mousse.
One of my favorite movies.
Yours too?
Yes.
Cool. We're in a room of people who like my favorite movie. There's a special menu in Julia's Kitchen as well. You can dine early, and you get a special menu that gets you in time, out in time to go get your bag of popcorn and glass of wine and watch the Flug. I think it's really one of the best things going in the North Bay.
Right. I'm hoping it keeps, yes.
Yes, that needs to... That needs to keep going.
Nothing wrong with indulging.
No, and doing it in a way that is less anonymous than movie theaters have become, that sort of thing, and a chance to see some great old movies on a bigger screen than, you know, just your
PowerBook
screen.
Yeah, I mean, the theater in itself, it's really a nice theater, and I didn't expect that when I first walked in, and it's great, and I think it's wonderful because you're much more relaxed for the movie, especially if you went to have dinner before and then have a glass of wine, and they're always really great flicks, so it's definitely a wonderful contribution that Copia makes. So.
And what are some of the other elements of the wine program, Kevin?
Well, every day, our main goal is we want to take the intimidation out of wine, but we want to equip you with as much knowledge as possible. So each day that you come in, we have a series of classes you can take. We have a class called Wine 101, and we will take you through the basics of wine tasting, a little bit about winemaking. We give you a lot of prep as to what to expect when you go out and hit the tasting rooms, and then we talk a little bit about Napa and Sonoma as well. In addition, we have an advanced class, in a sense, Wine 102, and every month we will feature a different aspect of the wine industry. This month we're featuring on mastering the art of Cabernet Sauvignon. We also do a wine and food pairing class, which is a lot of fun. We teach you the basics of pairing wine with food, and we strip down kind of all the components of wine, we strip down the components of food, and we show you what happens if you have a food high in acidity, how it will match with a wine that's maybe high in tannin or high in acidity. And in addition, we also offer a very fun wine blending class. This is available on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you can come in and we let you taste varietals all by themselves, and these are the French Bordeaux varietals, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, and Cabernet Franc. And then we let you actually do your own blending. And you sit there with a pipette and a graduated cylinder, you taste through all the wines, and you put together your own blends of what you feel might be the best wine. And then we will go back and create a 750 milliliter for you. You'll put your own label on it, you'll foil it, you'll cork it, and then you get to take the bottle home.
I think that blending really is one of the great ways to sort of understand wine from that very physical point of view. I think it's a really
It's a great way to see what you like as well.
Yeah,
you know?
And to see how the varietals interact with each other.
Right.
One thing I'm curious about, it seems for a long time, even as Americans have begun to drink more and more wine, we do stay on that French axis to a very large degree. The French, the Bordeaux varieties and the Burgundy varieties, especially Chardonnay, mm-hmm. to a lesser degree Pinot Noir, but it's okay with me if Pinot stays kind of a cult thing because there's more for me.
And cheaper.
Yeah, really. I'm wondering if you're seeing much interest in learning more about other varietals, Spanish, French, and I mean Spanish, Italian, lesser known French, some from the Rhone, and also some different styles such as rosés.
Mm-hmm. I think we're really starting to see that. You know, Chardonnay, Merlot, those have been kind of the mainstays that people mm-hmm. have felt comfortable with. But I hear a lot of guests are excited about Pinot Grigio, and I think it's excellent because it's a very pleasant wine, it's very welcoming, and then it starts getting us into Italy, and we can start talking about all the Italian varietals. And you find out that most people have had a Chianti, and you start to enlighten them about Chianti, and then it seems to open up those doors where they're not so scared to actually go out there and try these other varietals. Speaking of the Rhone varietal, Syrah seems to be a popular one amongst people as well now.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, we've had Pinot Noir has been very big, I think, after the Sideways effect. After that movie came out, we have seen Pinot Noir sales skyrocket, and Merlot sales have dipped quite a bit. So Sideways did have a huge effect.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, sorry. No, you go ahead.
And I think at Copia as well, we try to kind of get people interested in other varietals as well. In September, we focused on Italy, and we had programs about the wines of Italy. And so I think, and we had a really great response to it because people are interested. I think, in other varietals and check and kind of discovering what's out there besides just the typical. Mm-hmm. So we try to do programs like that often.
Are people discovering dry rosé?
Yes. The magazines have, all the trade magazines have seemed to get on board with rosé. And just today I had actually two separate couples come in and ask which wineries they could go to that had a very nice dry rosé. So hearing the guests speak about it, I think a lot of people at first are worried that if they ask for rosé that people are going to associate that with sweet or you know, a white
just
Zinfandel.
Just don't ask for white Zinfandel.
Exactly. But yeah, dry rosés are excellent mm-hmm. wines. They're fantastic in the summer. You can even get away with them in the winter. And
yeah, they're so really good with certain foods.
Yes. Spicy food, barbecue mm-hmm. food seems to be a wonderful match. Mm-hmm. Spicy Asian food, mm-hmm. I think.
Bouillabaisse.
Yes.
Really have to have rosé for bouillabaisse. Where'd you send them?
We actually sent them to Robert Sinsky and Frog's Leap mm-hmm. and Etude.
Perfect.
And they said they were here for a weekend and it just fulfilled uh-huh. their weekend perfectly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those are all really, really good recommendations. How's dry rosé with tamales? Is that a good choice, do you think?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, that was the next thing I wanted to talk about was actually what to drink with tamales. But you know what? We're going to leave you hanging on that note.
Cuando tanque en Oaxaca se toma el mezcal con café. Cuentan que en Oaxaca se toma el mezcal con café. Dicen que la hierba le cura la mala fe. Dicen que la hierba le cura la mala fe. A mí me gusta el mole, que soledad me va a moler. A mí me gusta el mole, que soledad me va a moler.
It's Mouthful, and we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, Mexican food, and copia as well. But during that last song, my guests and I, my guest Reina Bocholt,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Tumajan, we agreed we could never, ever give up Mexican food. And I bet you couldn't either, Margarita. I want to bring Reina into this conversation about Mexican food. You've lived there. Your mom lives there.
Right.
So talk to me.
Oh, I don't know. I grew up in Texas on the border, so, I mean, I've eaten it my whole life and love it. And my mother actually owns a cafe in Punta de Mita, which is kind of a new up-and-coming place outside of Puerto Vallarta, and it's called Debo's Cafe. And it's just, you know, it's great because you're in Mexico and she gets right across the street. The fishmongers come in every day with fresh fish, and it's just such a wonderful little community. I'm sad to say it's blowing up. There's restaurants going up everywhere, but I guess that's bound to happen.
How long has she had her cafe?
It's been about a year and a half. So it's just new. She just retired and moved down. I think everybody's dream a little bit. So.
Really? That's mm-hmm. that's amazing. And you lived in Guadalajara?
Right. I lived in Guadalajara for a little bit. I attended university there. I just took some advanced Spanish classes and hung out a whole lot and ate my way through. It was a good time.
Now, one thing I think, Mexico is actually really big.
Right.
How many states?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm always trying to remember. Mm-hmm. Is it 18?
There's a lot.
There's a lot of states. And if I have, you know, the cuisine really varies. There's not, you know, to say Mexican food is really not accurate. There's Michoacan. Mm-hmm. There's food from Oaxacan. And, I mean, just in Oaxaca alone, there's all the different types of mole in the smaller regions of Oaxaca. So, Mexico City is that that's your home and your family's home?
Sí.
So there's a specific, is it possible to say some of the things that really characterize the cuisine of that region?
Las comidas de DF.
Oh, bueno, we have cochinita pibil in Mexico.
What is
pork.
Okay.
That's pork mm-hmm. and the roasted
pork.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, we're off to a good start.
Yes. It's delicious.
We make a salsa verde, salsa roja, Mole.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? Tell me about the mole, because I think that in the United States, people hear mole and they immediately think of the type of mole that has chocolate in it. But yes, there are many, many types of mole. So the Mexico City type has chocolate?
We have a mole. We put la abuelita, chocolate. Mm-hmm. We put chocolate, peanuts, grapes, banana.
So it's that really slightly sweet, dark, deep kind of mole.
Sí.
And what is the meat that is usually, is it chicken or is it?
It's a turkey.
Oh, turkey. That's right, turkey.
Yeah,
that's
in right. Mexico is turkey.
Uh-huh. Is there a traditional time of year that you would eat that?
Beer.
Oh, the traditional drink with it, beer?
Yeah. With sometimes we make a Paris. We use beer,
mm-hmm.
Tequila. If you eat puerco,
mm-hmm.
Tequila.
Tequila.
Because
pork and tequila.
That's good for...
well, I've been falling down on my job when it comes to pork.
We make a margaritas.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Margaritas, yeah. Margaritas.
Okay.
See? And that's good for digestion.
Digestion.
Uh-huh. And
the tequila is?
See?
There you go. If you need an excuse, you got it.
And we make a mole with a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
We kill the turkey in Mexico. We have a...
Now, are these farm-raised turkeys, or do you have a lot of wild turkeys in
we
Mexico?
We have a lot of turkeys.
Uh-huh.
We have in the house turkeys,
uh-huh.
and we kill it.
Uh-huh. We have turkey. The wild. I don't know about Napa, but certainly in Sonoma, the wild turkey population, mm-hmm. I have about 40 at my house.
I do as well. There are a lot of wild turkeys.
Mm-hmm. My cats, I was thinking that my cats really suddenly like loved me more than before, especially when he's in the house all the time. And I realize it's because he's terrified of the turkeys.
Yep.
My father has a house in Tlaxcala, mm-hmm. and my mother liked the animals.
Mm,
and mm-hmm. she has a lot of turkeys, a lot of chickens, a lot of birds, a lot of cows, a lot of pichones. I don't know what is pichones.
Pichones? I don't know.
It's
okay. That's okay. We'll see if we can get online. We'll look it up. that's not goat. A goat is. What is a goat in Spanish?
Chivo.
Sí, she has a chivos and mm-hmm. porks.
Mm-hmm.
We have one pork. She has a 12.
Uh-huh. She had 12 piglets?
Sí.
Wow.
Every time.
Every time?
Yeah.
Oh.
We have a lot of porks.
do you go back and visit often? Every year? What time of year?
Maybe in January.
January?
Yeah.
And how long do you stay?
15 days.
Mm-hmm. You're going to leave us for this long?
And when you go back, do you and your mom cook together?
Yes. We make gorditas
mm-hmm.
because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And we make tlacoyos.
I don't know what that is. Is it possible to describe that?
Yes. It's you make a masa.
Masa.
And you make a little tortilla, a little gordita.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put frijoles, beans, mm-hmm. or you can put fava beans,
mm-hmm.
or you
mm-hmm.
can put peas, but you fry first.
Mm-hmm. Fry first.
With cummins.
Mm-hmm.
And you put inside to the tortilla, and you make a little bolita, little rounded,
mm-hmm.
and you can put like cocoa, uh-huh.
Cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And fry, and you open, and you put onion, cilantro, salsa, and cheese.
That sounds
really good.
Yes.
Oh, that's
delicious.
Excellent. So let's talk about salsa verde and chili verde. What are the secrets to making those really well?
Well,
let's start with salsa verde.
The secret is cilantro. The cilantro mm-hmm. is the flavor. You put depend if you like it toasted mm-hmm. or roasted mm-hmm. or boiling or fresh. Uh-huh. Tomatillos,
okay.
And
serranos.
And cilantro and garlic and onion and salt and a little water.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Very easy.
Very
and
simple.
Very delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then to make chili verde, and I seem to have different types of chili verde. Some have quite a lot of spice. Some have maybe cumin and some other spices, and some are very lean and clean.
You know, we use epazote.
Epazote. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Epazote and chile verde.
Uh-huh. That explains a lot.
It's spicy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. If you don't put spice, that's clean.
Yeah, I like that. I like the clean style of chile verde the best.
You put garlic, onion, salt, cilantro, and tomatillos.
Tomatillos, and that's it.
That's it. You can boil in and later fry.
Oh, so you boil those things together first and then fry.
Yes.
Now, what about the pork? What cut of pork do you use?
You can put chuletas, or you can put for espinazo.
Mm.
Espinazo is like
fat back.
Back. Yeah,
okay.
The back.
Oh, okay.
And if you want leg, mm-hmm. it's no bones, no nothing.
No, uh-huh.
You can cut and boiling a little bit, maybe 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's going to be my next question.
Yeah,
you boil it.
You can put a little water uh-huh. and salt. When the water is gone, mm-hmm. you can put a little oil and fry.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a little dark, a little brown, mm-hmm. you can put the salsa.
Salsa in. Uh-huh. And then do you cook it for a long time after?
No.
No, just a little.
If you boiling the mm-hmm. tomatillos, mm-hmm. it's maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes when it's boiling.
So it's actually very quick.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, because the thing that the best chili verdes I have, the pork is so tender. Mm-hmm. Just melts in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I've always assumed the way you got there was by cooking it a long time.
No.
No.
Just
okay.
10 minutes.
Okay, there we go.
Minutes.
That's really interesting. And chili verde, forget what I was going to say. Uh-oh. would you use that same chili verde, that same style of chili verde, then to put in a tamale? Or would you do it differently? Okay, you would.
That's the same. That's the same.
Okay. So then
you boiling and you put it in the tamales.
Mm-hmm.
Or you make for salsa for chicken or for beef or pork or mm-hmm. whatever you want mm-hmm. to use.
Go ahead.
One secret, it's a little more hot for tamales because the masa take the chili.
Oh, so you make it a little hotter?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, yours had some kick to them, mm-hmm. which was very, very nice.
Si.
We like that. I'm curious, Margaret, how long have you been cooking in the United States, here in California?
I am cook all my life.
Mm-hmm. when did you come to California?
Maybe 20 years ago.
Uh-huh. Have you found getting the ingredients that you need, that you want? Have you
no.
found that challenging? No, it's not.
Not before. I have everything maybe 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
7 years, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But when I come here, nobody know the chiles. Nobody know the cilantro.
Yeah.
And I say, oh, my God. What can I eat? I lost a lot of pounds. Yes.
So eventually, where did you shop then? Did you have to go into San Francisco to find ingredients you wanted?
Or did you? Now?
No, back then.
Oh, no, because I'm not driving. I know friends. Nothing. I stay close for 7 years.
Oh. So you're having
until
some
my brother come in, uh-huh. Later my sister come in, and everybody's coming with me.
Uh-huh.
And my brother go to the shopping, and she say, "Oh, I find it one can, a chipotles. Okay, we can make a salsa. We can make it this." And where I have it.
Yeah, it was very hard to find chipotles here up until really the mid-1990s. It was very difficult.
Yes.
You could find the cans some places.
Sí.
But if you wanted dried chipotles, you had to go to San Francisco.
Yeah. Or Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Los Angeles, you can get everything.
Everything in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Did you live there for a while?
Well, sometimes I have a friends in Los Angeles.
So you visit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And sometimes I go to get to it's almost like Huauzoncles. You know Huauzoncles?
Mm-mm.
It's one vegetable like broccoli. But it's long.
Long, broccoli
rub.
Broccoli, yeah, like broccoli rub.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And you can cook it, and put cheese inside, and you make the chile pasilla, and you make like chile relleno.
Uh huh.
And you put it in the salsa de pasilla, and it's very delicious.
Oh, it sounds really good. Yeah. Are you hungry yet? If you're not, you must not be listening. It's Mouthful. We have our last episode with Margarita Duran, winner of the tamale contest, Reina, Buckhold. Okay, mm-hmm. I can't read my own writing. And Kevin Tumajan, both of Copia. And this has been just so fun, and I'm so hungry. I could just fall over. You didn't bring any tamales with you today. Do people ask you to make tamales for home and for their parties and stuff, Margarita?
Yes.
They do. Do you do it?
Yes. Some people say, "When you make tamales?"
Uh-huh. Yeah, we need to talk. Definitely need to talk. When is your next? Do you know when your next class may be coming up? You said you substitute when people don't show up, so we don't have anything on the schedule right now.
Not yet. Hopefully next year, sometime she'll have something planned. I'm sure.
Uh huh. And then. With the daily classes, nothing in November, December scheduled?
Well, she normally kind of, I guess this past month, she did the salsa verde a couple of times. And it just kind of depends on
how
things are going, right? And it's because, it's nice to bring her in because we're off on Mondays and Tuesdays. So it's nice on Mondays she works. So that's why sometimes she does the salsa verde on that.
And are the daily classes, I should know this and I don't, are the daily classes, the topics posted on the website?
Yes.
Okay, so you can check the website, Copia, copia.org. You can check the website for the topic of the daily classes. You can also find out really everything. The movie coming up on Friday Night Flicks, what the monthly classes are, what the theme is. Mm-hmm. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you can even make reservations for Julia's Kitchen through the website.
There's a link, yes.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. a link. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks?
Well, we have a lot of visiting chefs that come. So we have one woman, Janie Hibbler is coming. She's doing the Wild About Game, mm-hmm. and it's really kind of a neat program. She's going to do a cooking demonstration, a tasting, as well as talk about game in general and how to choose your certain game and techniques and tips. We also have a lot of things coming up for the holidays, and it's really, I think people will come and they expect just cooking classes and things from Copia, but we also have a lot of different sort of interactive programs, such as Decorate Your Own Gingerbread House, and it's something that you can call and sign up for. You can bring the kids. There is already a prefabricated gingerbread house, and we show you how to decorate it.
And that is so much fun.
Yeah, it really is a lot of fun, and you know, it's a really great family activity. We also have a lot of teas that are coming up as well, where you can come with family and friends, and we have really elegant tea sandwiches and just wonderful different types of tea as well. As savory and sweet baked goods. The Napa's 45th holiday parade is ending again at Copia, where we're having our tree lighting ceremony.
When will that be?
That is going to be, I have it.
It's okay. We can find out on the website.
We can definitely find
so
out on the website.
So probably coming up sometime the first or second week in December?
Right. Right, definitely. And it's really great because there's going to be hot chocolate. The mayor is going to be there. And so it should be a really, really fun event. And we have a huge tree that we're going to light as well. And there's going to be 10% off holiday shopping. It's actually November 24th.
Oh, early.
Yes.
November 24th.
So we're going to get everybody in the mood quick as possible.
Wow.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Now, Margarita, do you do, and what sort of special things? We've only got a couple of minutes left, but are there very special holiday dishes that you like to make?
Tamales.
There yes. you go.
Tamales for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And do you make, like you did on Saturday, just a whole general type?
Yes.
Just several different types?
Yes.
Do you ever make sweet tamales?
Yes. I make sweet tamales with pineapple.
Oh, wow. Pineapple?
Yes. And with cherries.
Cherries.
And a little color, pink.
Uh-huh. Pink.
Or yellow.
Yellow.
For the kids, uh-huh. they love it pink. Uh-huh.
And is that something that you make around Christmas?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Christmas or any time, because my family like tamales, and I make 2 months, or 3 months, 2 months, whatever. My sister, she's gonna has 2 kids. And she say, when you make tamales? Okay, next week.
Okay. Well, on that note, we are just about out of time. And Margarita Duran, I want to say again, it has been an absolute joy and pleasure. And congratulations on winning the recipe contest.
Yes.
And Raina and Kevin, thanks so much for the two of you. I mean, really jumping in at the last moment. We scheduled the show about 36 hours ago. I was just waiting for just the right thing for Mouthful's anniversary show, so it's been really perfect, and I really appreciate it. And again, the website is copia.org. If people want to talk to you about tamales, is there a way that people can reach you?
Yes. My phone number is 253-1384.
Okay, that's area code 707-253-1384. And I should tell you, especially if you're listening outside the area, that a week from this Wednesday, my column in the Press Democrat Seasonal Pantry will feature one of Margarita's tamale recipes. So there you go. Have a great week. Take care of each other and meet me back here next Sunday night for another episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, here on KRCB.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at acura.com.